The footage of Triple M.
The weekend is here.
Oh, I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Hope you've had a wonderful week. It is now Friday night leading into the weekend. Friday night footy. Well, for the third round, it does not get much bigger than this. Essendon yet to win the game. Melbourne yet to win a game. The loser tonight, 0-3, and they'll be in the spotlight tomorrow. The Demons are out on the ground at the moment. The Bombers not too far away. Big Friday huddle coming your way. Fourth-time premiership player Jordan Lewis, formerly of the Hawks, now of the Demons, joins in the box. Juddy is going one-on-one with an Essendon legend, Mark Harvey. Chew's had a big week. We'll get to that as well. And the Cats are flying after they got the job done over Adelaide last night. Luke Darcy is here as always. Hello to you, Darce.
Howie, great to be here. And what about the interest in this game? It is a massive round three game. No win, as we know, to the Demons or the Bombers. And there's going to be a big, big loser out of tonight. No mistake about that, Howie.
Chris Judd here, looking very nice in a suit. Hello, Christopher.
Thank you, Howie. Wonderful to be here again.
And Nathan Brown is here, still sticking with the beard. Nathan, how are you?
I am. It's starting to thicken up too, Howie. And like Luke, I'm looking forward to tonight's game. The Demons, 74 inside 50s last week. They got some work to do, but I reckon they'll get the job done.
And Damien Barrett is here. Damo, you've caused a bit of a stir in the West, which we'll get to, but how was your week in the muscle car?
Okay, Howie, yes. Driving it slowly. No one would have thought Geelong was going to be 3-0 going into this round, and no one would have thought they'd be arriving at the MCG tonight with both of these teams at 0-2. A little bit going on.
Different Geelong, aren't they? Watching them again last night, they're just faster and they've got these young players coming through. They look really, really good.
Really good.
Couldn't have a better start, could you? What, you knock off Collingwood, who I think are going to be top four, all things being equal. You beat them here at the MC. 80-point win Saturday night in the rain was just extraordinary. And then you go and beat Adelaide, and Adelaide, that's as good a start as you could hope.
Courageous decision from a footy club and Chris Scott to do what they've done, I reckon.
5-day break as well, which was a superb effort. But just something we need to get to straight away, Howie. Mm. Now, we've been known for a little bit of theatre here on the Friday huddle from time to time. But sometimes something is a little bit more personal than that, Howie.
Hurtful.
And I'm not sure whether or not this divides a team to the point where you can't come back from it, or whether or not it's just a complete act of selfishness and narcissism. I'll let you decide. But this was sent to me today, and we'll discuss. Have a listen to this.
It's Wedgetail taking the lead at the 200 metres, Deserved underneath of it, and they were followed by He'll Haunt Us with 100 metres to go. It's Wedgetail, Deserved is driving through. Wedgetail and Deserved from He'll Haunt Us. Deserved on debut, took the front, and Deserved. Deserved has just beaten Wedgetail, He'll Haunt Us, Mustellas for four.
Anyone know Deserved was running up? Anyone have any ownership or share in that?
Nope.
Anyone have any idea that potentially a $4 winner might be attached to something?
And can I just make odds too, $4. You boost that.
This is your area of expertise, Brown. I will defer to you in a minute. But seriously, can I just say for the record, Chris Judd was nothing without the Friday huddle.
Nothing.
But I'll tell you what, he's the most boring player in the history of AFL footy.
Boring as batshit.
We gave him his zing. We gave him his profile. We gave him everything. And he comes up with a $4 winner. Did anyone get a call?
Nope. Nope.
Now that's one part of it, which is discredited. The second part, did you see him lead the horse back into... Now, I thought that was a body double or an impersonator.
Sunglasses on.
At a Sandown midweek meeting.
Can you explain your actions? Because
you nearly got on the horse at one point, Judge.
Looks like I win again. That's what I'm hearing. When you do have a little bit of success in life, you do get used to the tall poppy culture in Australia, and it's alive and well in this box, and it's ugly. I'll be honest, it's ugly. Yeah, I led the horse in. It had a terrific run, Duke. And to be honest, it may be featuring in springtime. I want to make sure I get it right when I lead it in at Flemington.
Scotty Gullen did a big story on it. You obviously told him about it. None of us.
I told who I needed to.
You know what really hurt? We were on the way into the football tonight. Damien was in the car. Chris was in the car. Luke, our producer, was in the car, and I was in the car. Campbell Brown rings Luke for a bit of a chat, and Juddy gets on the phone, has a chat to him. First thing Campbell Brown says, "Oh, Juddy, thanks for the tip during the week as well. $4.50, what a winner."
I owed Campbell from an earlier arrangement around an eye gouging issue 15 years ago. It only made sense that I gave him a little bit of a
heads up.
The trick
is right. We put you on the map in the media world. You put yourself on the map as a footy player, but we certainly stoked the fire with what you have now. And you've been very good, and we feel a bit let down.
Well, that's unnecessary. That's not how you should be feeling. I've got the first people I thought of when that horse crossed the line was, wouldn't the boys have loved this? And I thought, I was feeling good about it, and I thought you'd be happy for me. I mean, what are
just
you
doing leading it out with the glasses on?
It's just bits of money, Duke. It's just green bits of paper.
Joe, you've dominated this ground in front of a packed house on more than one occasion, Norm Smith Medal. How many people were at Sandown?
There was three or four there.
And what were they saying to you, wheeling the horse back in?
There were some looks. There were definitely some looks that perhaps this ruggedly handsome bull man's getting ahead of himself, but I ignored them. Purple and a very special day for me.
You've gone a bit far with your social media. Like
are you on this again, are you?
Yeah, I am on this again. I reckon you've gone a bit far. Like you're an out-and-out celebrity in this country. I think you're one the great celebrities and your wife. You make a great duo.
But Posh and Becks of Australia.
You carry on like you just got out of the Big Brother house. It's your first 15 minutes of fame. I wouldn't be surprised if you're running two phones like that.
He's not quite the man from Snow River. He sort of put a like a fleeting little pat towards the horse and then completely shit himself that maybe he was getting
you
run
can
over.
See the vision on Triple M Footy on the Insta story at the moment to see. Well, it looks a bit like a Hollywood movie star with the glasses on midweek. Where was it?
Sandown.
How many were there in the crowd?
It was three or four.
Right.
And feel free to leave some feedback on the bottom of the Instagram story if you can. The ordinary act from the judge. Not
maybe next time. Maybe next time. Let us know. Across all the papers today, and especially the Herald Sun, Melbourne tanking from I don't know how many years ago it was. Damo, 6, 7, 8 years ago now. A lot of documents floating around. In some ways, it's a story we've heard, but there's a bit of a new twist on it.
Yeah, it was. And the season in question was a 2009 year, Dust, as we know, and the investigation that took place into it was 2012, and then the documents today were certainly fresh light on the specifics of what was said in that investigation. And as far as journalism goes, it's high end presentation by the Herald Sun today. You're right in saying that it did play out. We all had opinions on it. We all covered it with news, and the sanctions that did come out of it, if we remember, was that Chris Connolly, the footy operations boss at Melbourne, got a 12-month ban, and Dean Bailey, the then coach and who was at then at another footy club, got a 16-game ban out of it. But look, I always felt at the time the sanctions were light. Upon reading these testimonies today, I think that theory is enhanced, that the sanctions were light when the AFL did come down with them at the end of 2012.
Only thing I'll say to that, Domo, and the two man and I have been doing a bit of investigative work ourselves this afternoon and had a look at that period when the priority pick was on offer, Howie.
The two man and you.
The two man and I did some work today. Between 1997 and 2009, the AFL decided that a priority pick was the way to go to try and even out the competition. So, for example, so there's no doubt, you read that Melbourne clearly, we're tanking, whatever the definition of that is. But let me look at some other clubs in that period of time. So Collingwood, twice in that period of time, won less than 5 games. In their 100-year history prior to that, on 4 occasions, had they won 5 or less games. That extraordinary coincidence, or are other sides actually manipulating their performance when they're having poor years? The West Coast Eagles secured a young Chris Judd on the back of 2 times in that period not winning 5 games. Prior to that, they'd never won less than 5 games, the West Coast Eagles. Carlton had 5 times in that period of time where they won less than 5 games. Only 7 times in their 100-year history prior to that had they won less than 5 games. So all the other clubs sitting around going, oh, Melbourne were bad. Melbourne were bad, but they were bad at tanking as well because they got caught.
They telegraphed it.
Every team that was available in that period of time having a bad year went back and tried to get a priority pick. It was a bad stain on the game. Brandy, there was a game you played in that a goal was kicked on the siren and you won the game and the Richmond supporters booed you and your teammates because they wanted to lose.
We were going. Jordan McMahon, you might remember, kicked the goal after the siren. And when you talk about tanking, and we were trying that day and obviously Melbourne weren't, that's how bad we were going. We got over the line, but Melbourne certainly didn't want to win that game. Paul Johnson, remember the ruckman, the big ruckman?
Yep.
He started on me at full back. I was starting full forward. So that sort of, you raise an eyebrow as to where their positioning is. And I guess that's why the big questions were asked. Like, most clubs tank and they might rest players or they might, but they played players completely out of position like Paul Johnson that day. There was some strange things going on.
Is there a statute of limitations on, I mean, the word news, Howie, I would have thought was derived from the word new, meaning it's something that hasn't been said before. This was said ad nauseum 10 years ago. We found out all this information. Unless you want to change it to olds, Duke, which would have its problems. Is that surely we've reached the statute of limitations to be recycling these sort of
articles. Well, I'm not going to pretend to be a news hound, Jody, but when someone releases the actual report and you get to read what people's account was at the time, that is of interest to some people. Okay. And I wouldn't say...
No, the journalism attached to it, Jody, as I said before, it is high-end, and I think you need to realise that. But in terms of it, does it change your view on what happened?
I thought we already did this 10 years ago, that's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
And that's fair enough.
He makes a good point, though.
The tanking that you referred to there, Darce, initially it was you couldn't win as many as 5 games in a year. Then they changed it to 9 games over 2 years, and that was the system under which Melbourne was operating in that season in question. So they were still getting around it over a two-year period. So
it was well-intentioned.
It was so wrong.
But it was badly executed in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Encouraging teams to lose games was not a good chapter in the brand, Juddy, I wouldn't have thought.
No, and, you know, the AFL has changed the rules now. You really shouldn't have an incentive in place for teams to fail miserably. So I think it makes sense that they took that incentive away.
The other issue with this particular specific around this whole issue of tanking was that Gillon McLachlan, upon announcing the sanctions for Melbourne in this issue, didn't have a definition for tanking, but said Melbourne didn't tank. And that always stuck with people who'd covered that story pretty closely. And that clearly plays out now, given there's a layer of detail that we didn't have at the time.
But if you wanted to go forensic, I think those stats that I gave before, Damo, suggest that everyone else who had access to it, Howie did exactly the same thing in that period of time. And it's sort of hard to blame them in some ways. I don't like it, but if you put the carrot out there, what do you expect?
There's tanking, and then there's just getting any player that's slightly injured in for an operation at round 15 or 16, which ends up having a similar effect too.
All right. Technically, I think we're going okay, which surprises me because the technical team come in here. They do a magnificent job. Jace and all the crew back there to make sure things are working. They were full on plugging everything in when Nath walked in about half an hour ago and made the statement, any of you technical boys possibly going down to level 2 for a crepe with some Nutella on it by any chance?
Very arrogant.
And then sent a poor bloke down there to get it, went down there, the bloke bought it out of his own money and came up and Nath said, oh, there's not much Nutella in it. How were your crepes, Little?
It just seemed a bit light on Nutella. I had 2 last week and they were full and juicy, falling out with Nutella. If you're going to have a crepe, you've got to have a lot of Nutella in it because you're doing some bad stuff to your body. And I just thought the young man might have taken some Nutella out of my crepe.
My point was sort of you should be getting your own crepes, I reckon. You're not that big yet.
No, I missed the point, obviously.
Darce, we're talking about the Melbourne Football Club. They've got a massive, massive game tonight. They're going as favourite against Essendon. You don't normally come in with a bee in your bonnet, but you came in today and you said you thought you had a big story that you wanted to bring to the table.
I didn't say it was a big story, but it was something I wanted to get off my chest.
It was an original thought, you said.
Yes, correct. No, well, I had someone had told me today, and I can't remember who, and said, hey, are you aware? Because I called the Melbourne game last week and I saw Stephen May get injured. He said, are you aware that he came last in the time trial and that he was, you know, 7 or 8 kilos overweight when he landed at his new club? I said, are you serious? Are you absolutely serious that you could come as a high-prized recruit and lob and not understand the AFL? He's been an AFL captain. He's been in the system for 6 or 7 years. So I said that I'd like to discuss that, and that's out. Right, not understanding that had been put on the agenda by our old mate Gary Lyon, but doesn't diminish the fact that to
three,
me...
3 days ago.
...is as bad... Well, clearly I missed that news. That's as bad a thing as you can do, I reckon, turn up at a club. But I'm staggered that you can then not really understand the level, having been... Now, is that a bad reflection on Gold Coast? Or is that a poor reflection on Stephen May? But I'm staggered in 2019. You can turn up in that sort of nick and commence your career at a new club. I'm flabbergasted by that.
I think it's a reflection on both, isn't it, Dus? But more the individual from May's going to a good team perspective.
I think so. But, I mean, if you've been in the system and you've played at the level that he has and you've given up a pick six to get someone, surely the penny's dropped by that stage that, you know, you would be enough sort of nick, Juddy, that you wouldn't need to lose 6 kilos at the start of
preseason. No,
I thought those days were gone. We had a couple of people back in the day, Brownie, that didn't quite get the memo, but it was a very different era.
It was a different era, and you'd have to think, what do the Melbourne players think of him right now? Do they respect the way he turned up, and they've started the season poorly? When I changed footy clubs, the one thing I wanted to do was make sure that I was fit enough to do all the training and obviously impress everybody when you go to a new football club, whether you're a first-year player, an 8-year player, but obviously Stephen May hasn't figured that out yet.
You'd be embarrassed turning up, Damo, and running last in the time trial.
Yeah.
as a you know, was he 25-year-old star recruit? I mean, that would have to be highly embarrassing.
Yep, and then the added problem he's had too is copping a suspension into that round one game, and then, as you say, the one game he did play, he's injured out of that game and unavailable for tonight's crunch game.
You always turn up in good, Nick Das?
Yes, Howie. Yes, you know, you do the work and you front up. When you're in a 17 or 18 year old and you're working how hard it is to get through, Howie, then you've got some leeway to build into it. But
have you seen others not turn up in good, Nick?
And not teammate called Alan Jakovic, who where do we start with Jacko? But poor old Jacko turned up and he came from Melbourne to us, Juddy, and Jacko couldn't run the full 3Ks. he had to stop and have a pause at the 1500 metre mark. And it was quite a sight. He needed a little bit of extra work, but he was a different character, Alan Jakovic.
How different?
He amused me greatly, Brownie. I shared a locker next to Alan Jakovic, and I was probably 20 years of age.
Did you hang out socially?
An educational experience, I'll say, as a young man next to... I tell you what, in terms of ability and being a freakish power athlete, when he did get a bit of conditioning in, he could do things, Jody, the likes of which I've never, ever seen before, on and off the field.
Grew up watching him for Melbourne, and he could change... turned games on the ear.
Still got
he
the record for the star. Fastest 50 goals, I think, yeah. Alan Jakovic, yep. In a short period of time. But was a long time ago, Howie. I wouldn't have thought in 2019 someone of Stephen May's – have you given up – and I'm a bit interested in giving away Jesse Hogan, and they've gone and grabbed two key defenders, Melbourne, and probably for all intents and purposes their forward line is the challenge.
Yeah.
So it puts a lot of responsibility on Sam Wiedemann now as a young gun to try and fire. He struggled the first couple of rounds. So – you know, you couple that with that recruit actually now not turning up and being injured, that is a shocker for Melbourne.
How heated will the spotlight be, Damo? We already saw it come on Essendon this week. Firstly, as the media guru, how does James Hird saying, oh, never say never, become a story about him coaching Essendon? That was one I didn't get the link on this.
No, I didn't get that one myself. And he made it pretty clear in the interviews that he had done on Triple M that... it wasn't at the forefront of his mind. It was shot down, obviously, by the club itself in question, because he's not going to be coaching again without being forced to go through a proper assistant coaching role that he didn't have the first time around.
So what happens to the club that loses this game tonight?
It's a worry for Essendon. I still feel, just my take on this season, that Melbourne, even if they somehow do lose tonight, can still retrieve the season to a point. I think if Essendon goes 0-3, I don't see that happening. And there's been... issues already, as we know, Howie, and as we spoke this time last week on the Friday huddle, that the leadership component to this club, Brownie, and Jody and Das, is still an issue that is yet to be resolved. And primarily we're talking about the removal of both Cale Hooker and Michael Hurley from the group. And people might say, well, so what?
They're made unhappy that decision. About it, aren't they?
They are, Brownie. Yeah, it hasn't gone away. I'm not going to say it's driven a wedge within the playing group, because... you can't say that from the outside without knowing, but there's enough talk to say it has caused problems per se. And whether it's the reason they've started so badly in the two matches they've played or just a reason, I can't tell you, other than there is a serious issue with it.
Was there a reason given as to why they were taken out of the leadership group, Damo?
The way I've had it told to me, Darcy, and a few people have got different takes on it, but the effect they had on the older players was so positive for so long, but with this stage of Dyson Heppel's leadership, it was decided to go down a path where those older players weren't going to be looking up and requiring Hooker, and particularly, and Hurley also, to be the ones that drive them. It was going to be basically Heppel and Merritt driving it. And look, it hasn't worked in the two games. It's still only two games in, but it is an issue. It's guaranteed it's an issue.
Massive game for the Essendon Footy Club tonight. The Melbourne players are out on the ground. Pretty coolish night at the MCG. I tell you what, coming up next, we've got a bloke that clinks when he walks in to the box because he has four premiership medallions to talk about. That's Jordan Lewis. He'll be joining us next. Us looking forward to that.
Like just one of those. How would be handy if Louis was prepared to share them around?
And just having a look at him too. He's looking very studious as well. He's got the glasses on. He looks $1 million. And a man that has won four premierships at the Hawks. He's now a proud demon. Always nice to see him, although we'd rather see him play footy. Hello to you, Jordan Lewis. How are you, Geordie?
I'm going well. Thanks for having me along.
Great to have you along. You're looking sharp. You got the spectacles on. You look $1 million.
A little bit different to what you look like, but...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Come out of Burke Street out of your swag, I think.
That's, yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Keep going.
I've got nothing to say.
You know what I love? That's completely rattled out. He hasn't expected it. He's just been shut. Now he's wearing thongs. He looks a really ordinary pair of board shorts and a sort of, you know...
Looks like he's been crabbing.
Mind you, I would rather be wearing what you're wearing than business attire. I had a slight strain of the hamstring. And it wasn't sort of muscular, it was more tendon. So they tend to take a little bit longer than the muscular ones. So, we're thinking miss next week and then sort of earmarked St Kilda. So, it's not too much fun when the hot northerly's blowing this afternoon and doing laps of the Gosher's paddock by yourself.
No. But
and the team not playing too well, it's certainly hard to watch.
Inside the four walls, how do you review a game of 74 inside 50s? Obviously, you've had enough footy to win the game by a long way, but you lose by 80 points. I don't think that's ever been done before. How does the coach approach it? I'd love to know.
I think it's glass half full. I think it's round one was probably not the way that we want to play. That was a really deplorable performance by our side, and everyone put their hand up that ran out on the park and said it wasn't good enough. But last week was a step in the right direction. And I mean, if you look at the inside 50s and then you see the scoreboard, you can clearly see one thing that's probably not right, and that's connection centre forward. So that was probably the one thing that we worked on. And if you ever played Geelong, one thing you probably don't want to do is bomb the ball into their defensive 50, and that's exactly what we did, and we played into their hands. So, yeah, it was a glass half full sort of look at the game, and hopefully we see the fruits of that tonight.
Louis, last year at centre bounces, you were quite often starting two guys off the back of the square. You'd get your sort of transition run from there, and they could give your defenders a bit of cover as well. Have the rule changes affected opposition teams' ability to score when they go into your defence, or is it unrelated?
I think it's probably related in some sense, but having those two guys off the back of the square, sometimes it didn't really work for us because they had an outnumber in our forward 50, so we weren't able to actually lock the ball in as much as we would have liked. It helped on narrow grounds. It certainly didn't help on the MCG because it was so wide. But the 666 is a funny one. I mean, there was a goal from Dangerfield last night and the commentators attributed that to the 666, but he's been doing that for four or 5 years. It's just you still can manufacture someone coming in from the 50 quite hard to actually close up the front of the stoppage. That's still able to be the case, or slide a winger around more defensively and he can roll around. Certainly the quicker ball movement out of the centre bounce probably helps with a 666, but that is probably 5 or 4 or 8 seconds that affects. But it's good for the key forwards. It can outmuscle their opponents, I suppose.
Louis, Stephen May turns up at the club. He runs last in the time trial. He needs to drop 6 kilos. How did that go down with the group?
It's funny when you paint it like that, because I suppose when you're in the day-to-day environment, it wasn't as stark as that. He certainly knew from the get-go that he had to improve his body condition. And he said there was a real step up in the training that we did. I think anyone that comes and watches the Melbourne Football Club train, we're pretty hard at it. There's no sort of, 50% sessions or 60% sessions. It's pretty much the way we want to play is the way that we train. And he maybe found it hard to adapt to that early on. But up until then, he was pretty good until the weekend where he had that slight groin issue that he's had a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It's certainly been a step up in intensity, especially over the pre-season for him.
Geordie, it's interesting you say that. From an outsider looking in, I find it interesting that there will be such a difference in training regimens between teams in the same competition. Was it much different for you from Hawthorn to Melbourne? It's extraordinary that you say it was that much of a different training program.
Yeah, I suppose Hawthorn, our training sessions might not have been as physical as Melbourne's are. Right. That would be the key difference. But if you look at the Gold Coast, I suppose, and they had a really young list, so you can't actually train these kids like a mature senior AFL side would up until they're sort of 4 or 5 years under their belts where they can actually handle the load. So maybe he was, a little bit hampered then, but, hopefully his groin is right. He had an injection the other day and that settled it right down. So hopefully we see him out there in the not-too-distant future.
Geordie, everyone who's played for Melbourne this year, to a point, has struggled on their best form. So I don't mean to highlight Sam Wiedemann when I ask this question, but without Jesse Hogan and the way that forward line worked last year, being at his disposal this year, how is it for him right now at this stage of his career to be holding down that main key post?
Well, I think it's tough. I think if we saw last week and the delivery that he was getting, and even Tom McDonald, who's a really good forward and one of the best forwards in the competition. If the delivery's there, they play well. If the delivery's not there, well, then they tend to struggle because they're probably not high-pressure players. They're marking forwards, they're leading forwards, and there wasn't a lot of that last week or even the previous week to that. But I suppose cast your mind back to when Jesse went out injured at the end of last year. Sam Wiedemann came in and was a real presence for us. So I suppose he is a little bit of the ball movement. It impacts the way that he plays. So, you know, once again, he would be a player that I would expect to play well tonight.
Louis, being an avid listener of the Friday Huddle, you'd know we go to Juddy's Judd Cave once a year, and we all have to take the best bottle of wine we can. There's been Hill of Graces, there's been Grange, there's been the Super Saver Vasso Felix that Howie bought along for $14.
Don't laugh at that. It's not funny, Jordy. It's not true or funny.
That is it true, everybody?
100%
it's 100% true. Yeah. But you have started your own, producing your own wine label.
Really?
Yeah, we have. So three other mates and I have produced a Mornington Pinot. So there's two winemakers in the business, one from Mount Mary and one from Hoddles Creek. So we got nearly the best in the land, and we'll release that early June.
Describe it to us, Geordie.
It's a Mornington Pinot from 2018 vintage. It's no whole bunch, so it's nice and smooth, not highly tannic. So it just slides down the throat.
Called, how do we get hold of it?
There'll be a website set up, but you better be quick.
Oh.
It'll probably sell out in a couple of days. So.
Hey, Geordie, you've been involved in some fantastic clubs, fantastic teams. If you were involved with mates and one of them had a horse, for instance, and it was going to run and went on to win at $4.50, $5, and they didn't tip that horse to you, how'd you feel about it?
Oh, I'd feel let down.
Mm.
Has something happened?
Yeah, Chris had a horse.
I told my mates.
Chris had a
And it wasn't as if it didn't have form, it wanted two lead-up trials as well.
Yeah.
And no word, no text to say...
At $4.
Nothing.
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 I didn't think these guys
are you compensating?
I didn't think they'd be interested in making money.
Compensation. That's a good point. Compensation. Hey, you came in here and were telling us about your young family. You've got three youngsters, including twins like Christos. How's that all going for you and your beautiful wife?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, it's certainly busy. I've said it before, but I go to training for a rest. So it's pre-season wasn't that hard this year. It was nice to get there and get a bit of a rest. But as Chris would know, it's... it's the joy. And anyone who's got kids, it's always a joy when you come home and... you know, play with them, and they're starting to get involved in ball sports now, so it's always nice to go to the park and run around, and Freddie just sort of belts them around a little bit, toughen them up, and it's nice.
Jordan, I'm best equipped in this box to ask you about spectacles, given I'm legally blind. Are the ones you're wearing, are they like Josh Gibson's clear lens style?
Oh, they don't look as thick as yours.
No, I'm Coke bottle thick.
Yeah. Yes, they are. So if I was to take these off, everything's sort of blurry, especially at night. So when I play, I wear contacts. So, that's sort of what it's
not a fashion statement, though. They're just... Can I ask you about your footy club today, all over the paper and six or seven pages? Is that discussed? The current group made aware of it? Simon Goodman touch on it all. You go, that was an era 10 years ago, nothing to do with us.
Yeah, I think exactly that. I wasn't... The boys went in today and I wasn't in yesterday, so... it's exactly that. I wish I could comment, but I know nothing. I probably know as much as you guys do, or Damo would know more than I do. So, yeah, I don't think...
No effect on tonight at all.
No.
Do you have any time in your career to this point to reflect, Geordie, on the fact you won four flags, or is it new club, get on with it, play as many more games as I can, have more success, and then deal with the tremendous success you've had? There's not many four-time premiership players getting around.
Yeah, it's funny, I suppose. When you go into the day-to-day business of training, preparing for a game, and then you review the game, then you go into the next game, exactly the same sort of approach, you don't really think about it. And I don't know, maybe from the outside people look and see that and go, it's been fantastic to be involved in a highly successful club for an extended period of time. But, yeah, I haven't yet. And it's probably when you retire and you do catch up with the guys that you haven't seen for a long period of time, and then you do recount those stories. But... yeah, there's not enough time at the moment to actually sort of ponder and think about, the great years that we have. But I can't wait till the day comes around when we can actually do that.
Does it surprise you that some of your great teammates like yourself have ended up at different clubs? When you think of the year you had, and obviously there's been a different change of tack with Clarko and the group to see Hodgie at Brisbane. Does that still surprise you? Turn on the TV and you see Luke Hodgie running around for Brisbane. Does it still shock you like it does us?
Yeah, it's one of those things where... like even me being at Melbourne, it doesn't shock me. But then when I look at things from the outside. So I look at the Melbourne team and I'm in it. I think that's just weird. You know, I spent a good majority of my time at Hawthorn. And even to see the boys at Hawthorn running around, I mean, Ruffy and probably Shawnee and there's a few others, but there's a lot of new blood there. So I don't feel that immediate connection at Hawthorn right now. But it is funny. And even when Mitch was at West Coast, albeit a year, it is funny seeing Hodgie run around in the Brisbane Lions. It probably doesn't seem right, does it, Howie?
No, there's a rumour floating. No, I struggle with it. Right? I struggle with it. I declared Luke Hodge the best player in the competition last week. That's how much I'm struggling with. There's a rumour, though, that one of the great tough men of the competition has disappointed all and sundry with the vehicle he's driving. Can you put anything into that for me?
Hodge?
Yes.
Key Carnivale.
Wow.
Well, that's what happens when you have multiple kids and they get friends and they just...
Well,
this
is one of the greats.
There's nothing wrong with a key. Well, nothing's
wrong with it.
I'm told that he's blacking the windows out as legally black as you can, Howie, to make sure that no one recognises him.
He should have got himself a Mitsubishi Triton. They're the number one vehicle. All right.
Can you do one thing? When the Judd Cave comes around again, can you stay away from Penfolds and Henschke? Can I get somewhere in France?
Can I get a nice Pinot from you?
It was probably not that.
Oh, we'll invite you. But we also have a great
Burgundy.
Segment.
Somewhere about Burgundy.
We all have a great...
Nate's banging on about this. The first night we did the Judd Cave, no matter what wine I arrived with...
You brought a Queen Adelaide.
It was a bottle more than Nathan brought, because Nathan didn't even arrive with a bottle of wine. True or not?
But did I end up with a bottle of grain?
Did he bring a bottle or not?
From Byaruba.
From Juddy Sell.
Yeah, Byaruba. All right, Nate's got his little segment there, which he thinks is funny, and we sort of deal with it.
Well, it's more a snorkel segment more than anybody. But this is Name That Voice. So we play about six voices. They're not all from your footy club, but most of them are. And I thought Daniel Menzel last week was outstanding.
He was very good.
With all these new players. So here's the first one.
We're not happy with where we're at. We're all trying to improve, coaches included. Little everyone's general. In it together. And
very good.
We'll wait until the end.
Just jump in whenever you want. Second.
Lose a soldier, replace one. So, look, we've got a really strong system here. So anyone can step in at any time.
Jack Gunston.
Oh.
You only play with him.
Shit, I thought you said Melbourne.
Oh, I said that it could be from any club.
Oh.
Yeah. Next one.
Yeah, they were better than us today, and
Michael Hibbert
train hard this week and hopefully bounce back.
Nice. All right, here's number four.
Yeah, got the Cairns, which is pretty exciting. Had them for about 4 or 5 months.
Next one.
Yeah, I was training it this week, and I'm pretty comfortable with the position, so I've done the training in the past.
And the last one to get 5 out of 6.
Certainly during my experience is during January and sort of Feb, and particularly in Feb, it can be a period where players are actually wanting to play competitive games.
That's Steve Hocking. You're never going to get what's on there. But it's interesting that Jack Gunston sounds like Aaron Vandenberg.
He does.
Well done to you, Geordie. Just for Melbourne fans listening, when do you hope to play again?
St Kilda,
yep. Which is round... Back.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. Great to see you as always, Geordie. Best of luck.
Thanks, Louis. Thank you.
AFL website demo, I always enjoy your sliding doors. Today, you've gone with Fremantle. If we're to conspiracy theorise, then Ross Lyon and Paul Ruse are great mates. Out of nowhere, Ruse seriously bagged Fife this week. Might Ross the boss have asked Ruse to do so? Again, it's only a conspiracy theory. I liked it. I always like it. But it's just taken a little bit of traction over in the West, as these things tend to do in a two-horse town.
A purely conspiracy theory, Howie. But it was strange to me. And regardless, it was strange full stop. For Paul Ruse, out of a game in which Nate Fyfe polled from both coaches and the official Coaches Association votes to highlight the negatives of a man who I think most of us think is, if not the best player in the comp in this few handful of people who could be. So I don't know why we look for the negatives in people, and Ruse's got every right to do it, obviously, but it just seemed to be the strange week to do it, given Nate Fyfe had polled in rounds one
so
and two.
So you think with the relationship that Ruse and also Ross Lyon have had, Ross Lyon might have gone to Ruse and said, maybe can you just throw a little bit of a dagger and get my star on baller to man up a bit? That's what you're saying.
Couldn't be more clear in what I said about it being a conspiracy theory, Brownie, but it wouldn't be the first time.
But I could put
it wouldn't be the first time.
I could put allegedly in front of anything, Damo.
Yes, true. That is true. But it wouldn't be the first time that Ross Lyon and Paul Ruse may have used the media in a certain way, and it wouldn't be the first time that a coach has used another member of the media in a certain way.
This if you've said conspiracy theory, because you've thought about it. Okay, will this get me in trouble?
I've thought about it.
I thought about it. This is what I think, but I'm going to go with conspiracy theory.
No, but as you know, when you present news, you present it as news. I'm presenting that as a conspiracy theory.
No,
but
I'm with you, though. That is a common tactic that coaches have used in the past, is to have someone that they know on the media to load the bullets up. Particularly, you need to do it with a player that's at, you know, the Fife level, because you want to preserve your relationship. So Ross Lyon doesn't want to go up to Nat Fife and, you know, mate, you seriously need to defend.
Yep.
And it's an issue. Not a bad tactic. I like your conspiracy theory, Jenny.
Is there other coaches who you feel have relationships with reporters that you've picked up on historically? Yep. Who are they, Damien?
No, I won't be going down that path.
Really?
But it's fair to say that if it has happened this way between Ross Lyon and Paul Roos,
this little club.
100% happened before, Bernie.
Maybe the coaches wouldn't dislike you.
My opinion can't be bought, Brent.
Maybe that's the way you and Bevo could get back together. Maybe you
Bevo's hit man.
Could start throwing out the barbs at some of the Bulldog players.
No, that horse has bolted.
Robert Walls came as a guest speaker in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, and fairly hard at it, Rob Walls. Mm. You work with him, Howie. He doesn't mince words. So he's back with Juddy at the Blues now.
It's brutal.
Never afraid to. No. And he sat in this, do you remember it, Brownie?
Yep.
Over and he Ellis. Just zeroed in on one player, and it was our good mate Craig Ellis. He just had nothing but tunnel vision and tore shreds off him for about 20 minutes. It was one of the most extraordinary. Didn't know him, had never met him before, and just went for it.
It was meant to inspire us for the weekend coming up.
Took the edge off our mate, fair to say.
Called him overzealous Ellis.
How's it going with Wolsey down at the Blues?
He's been great. They've really enjoyed it.
Well, how would you define his role?
I'd say he's a mentor to all the coaches. So he's got plenty of experience in the game. He's a really smart guy and understands how to motivate people. So they've really enjoyed having him down there.
Very, very good with people is Robert Walls. All right, it's that time of the night where it is time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
Take it away, Big Daddy.
I sort of feel like I'm in communist China with some of the censorship I've already had to deal with tonight, to be honest. But we'll get straight into it. The best on ground votes this week go to the Donkeys in Santorini. Howie, now, it's a tradition in Santorini. Over the last few hundred years, that the locals, when getting around the very hilly terrain and the cobblestone streets, ride donkeys. Mm. Now, in recent times, obese tourists have taken to jumping on this and being part of the tradition, leaving it a lot of the donkeys with spinal injuries and open wounds and various other medical issues.
Oh.
And this week, the donkeys and their allies convinced the Greek government to introduce a new law. Now, I don't speak Greek, but the new law basically translates to, if you weigh more than the animal, don't ride it. And I think that's a very good common sense law. So for the donkeys getting that over the line, they get the best on ground votes this week.
What does a typical donkey weigh?
I used some poetic license there saying if you weigh more than them, but they were saying that these people weigh a quarter of the donkeys, and judging by their weight, I'd deduce that the donkeys weigh about 500 kilograms. So there were some big tourists jumping on
board. No one would support that policy more than Mark Howard, because we know he's got a lot of issues with people who aren't quite as svelte as Howie is.
Yeah. It's not true at all, Luke.
You're a fat shamer.
I am not.
You're a fattest.
That is not true.
You are a fattest.
I wasn't going to label you.
No,
but
he is.
I've seen you before in action.
I love all and each.
Okay.
That bloke, you did fat shame in the lift at Sydney, no longer has
terrible.
His job.
It was terrible.
Wasn't there last time we were there, last week.
The lift door couldn't close and the lift wouldn't move. There was only three of us in it.
But you didn't have to point it out to the man in question, Howie.
Okay.
It's an issue you've got.
Anyway, worst on ground votes this week. One vote goes to Swimly, which is a US-based company. Now, shared economy has been a huge trend in the global finance purple. We've got Airbnb for shared accommodation, Uber for shared carpooling, WeWork for shared working centres. Now, Swimly is swimming pools for Airbnb, basically. So...
Swimming pools for Airbnb? How does that work?
So you just rent out your swimming pool.
Really?
So imagine, picture this scene. You're sitting in the lounge room with the whole family. Dad thinks he's going to earn some punting money by renting out the pool for the afternoon. Enrocks Howie with his boogie boarder mates, all wearing the rash vest, bring the boom box, get the Nickelback blaring.
Nickel.
Swigging on a couple of Bacardi breezes, talking about the Paran days and the pre-match routine. It's not going to work. I don't like it. And and they get the one vote for worst on ground
this
week.
It's not a legitimate venture, that company. It's a legitimate business.
Swimley.
Rent out
share
your pool.
Your pool in your backyard.
Oh, that's
for a few hours, and it's a sign the thematic's coming to a close for mine, Howie.
You're a knob.
For the two votes this week goes to these two men.
These two Arkansas men are facing aggravated assault charges because they took turns shooting each other while wearing bulletproof vests. Charles Ferris and Christopher Hicks told deputies that they were on the back deck drinking when Ferris put on a bulletproof vest and told Hicks to shoot him. Well, the vest stopped the bullet, but Ferris got mad that it hurt. So when it was Hicks' turn to wear the vest, he shot him five times. Both men only suffered bruises.
Now, as men, Duke, we've had a lot of power for the last couple of thousand years. And we all know the patriarchy's dying. And these two blokes aren't helping, let's be honest. This level of stupidity. I mean, what sort of an idiot says, oh, we'll have a couple of jars on the veranda, then we'll get the vest on, you shoot me. I mean, that's incredibly stupid. Then to be offended when it hurts, it beggars beyond belief.
And then to retaliate.
They get the two votes. Three votes this week go to Qantas. Howie, the flying kangaroo.
Jeez.
After they sacked an air hostess for drinking a quarter of a bottle of vodka during her shift.
A little small one.
Well, a quarter of a full big bottle.
Ooh.
So this, to me, is evidence that sexism in corporate Australia is alive and well. Because David Boone drunk 30 stubbies on a trip to London. He gets hailed as some sort of a national treasure.
He was a passenger.
Here we have a female Qantas employee. Yeah. Sure, she drank a quarter of a bottle of vodka. That's a few big sips, Duke.
It is.
For you and I. Because of safety concerns, because her role was mission critical. I'll put it to you, David Boone was first dropped for the Australian cricket team. Howie, that's a mission critical role.
We're off.
No, we're still going.
I think disconnected. So anyway, Qantas get the three votes.
We've got a few
technical issues. You can't get dumped twice.
You know why we've got technical issues? Because the technical team are down getting crepes with Nutella for Nate Brown. That's been the issue here.
He's been dumped twice.
He's a bit trigger happy to know his producer at the moment. I'm like, well,
good thing. Good thing.
At least he's learned his lesson.
Didn't need to be dumped. That was a good segment.
How'd you like being in jail?
Parkinson.
Why do you say that? I mean, do you mean that?
Denton.
Stay with me, it's okay.
Judd.
I've been too big for football for a little while, let's be honest.
Chris Judd is going deep.
5CJ.
And let's just hope 5CJ knows who's playing tonight on which team. Mark Howe with you, Luke Darcy, Damian Barrett, Nathan Brown on the boundary. Our man with a couple of Brownlow medals with a superstar of the game. Juddy, come in.
Thank you, Howie. We're very lucky to have Essendon assistant coach Mark Harvey down here. Now, halves would have been a pretty challenging week with all the media speculation around the first 2 weeks of the season. What have been the main messages from you and the other coaches to the players?
No, you're right. It has been a tough week in many ways. I just want to get one thing straight, Juddy. You're 5 minutes late for this interview. Oh. I saw your horse won during the week. You're not still celebrating on the back of that, are you? I've been waiting for you here. Up and about because of his horse. Anyway, it doesn't always happen that way, by the way. I've had a few horses myself. Anyway, the week has been quite interesting. Obviously, the media are a big attraction of what we're doing or what we're not doing at the moment. The players have been very settled. There's stability in a lot of our training at the moment. It's a good vibe just in the rooms before the game. I would expect that our team will be really up and about, and so they should be, because the performances over the last couple of weeks haven't been up to par.
Stoppages looks like an area of the game where there's some improvement needed. Where do you see that coming from with your current group?
Yeah, and so hopefully it's brutal in there, you know, and we make it that way. Obviously it's a big part of the Melbourne agenda, so we're fully understanding of that. We brought in Zach Clark here, so we'll look to see what we can do with Maxi and a few other things that we've been training on throughout the course of the week. So it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds from our point of view.
And Melbourne got some good young midfielders, Clayton Rolliver, Brayshaw. These guys, which one of those do you target, or who makes you most nervous out of their inside mids?
I mean, they're all come along at the same time, really. And they're all got different attributes. So, you know, Oliver's the one that's probably in the best form at the moment. So hopefully we can extend what he's doing and make him think about going the other way. And that'll be a number of players that'll be doing that.
Having played under John Worsfold for a number of years, I know how focused he is on making the team player-driven teams. He doesn't like giving answers straight out to players that are looking for them, prefers to question and lead them to grow in and of themselves. How do you feel that approach is being taken by the Essendon players?
No, you're right, Juddy. I mean, he likes to discuss things and let players solve it. It's a different way than what I've seen. I had Sheed to just basically give it to you and told you how it was. So it's been interesting to sit back and see how the way John goes about it. And the players are fully accepting of the way he goes about it. They've understood it. And now we just need to have some more consistency in what we're doing once we do solve things. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. You guys got anything upstairs?
Mark, with Michael Hurley and the focus on him and the body language particularly out of last week, I know he's a player who wears his heart on his sleeve. I know you've got a soft spot for him. Has the club or you or someone around you felt the need to try and harness some of that energy going into tonight's game?
Yeah, Damien, he's in really good form. He actually played really well last week. He gets down on himself sometimes if he makes a mistake. Well, I don't know if you've seen our backline at the moment, but it's quite young, and he's taking that responsibility, and he's initiating a lot of things down there. So I guess he's feeling more responsibility of being the key back, and whilst Hooker's still in and around the team, maybe coming back hopefully next week or two. I think that's a reaction to seeing that Michael's got a young defence at the moment.
Yep. Hey, Harz, I want to ask you, go back on John Worsfold for a moment. You would have played against him, and we know his history in the game is extraordinary. I don't think I can remember a time where it feels like an industry is targeting an individual as much as John Worsfold. It's an unbelievable amount of focus and people openly, you know, calling for him maybe to be removed. Have you felt the need as an assistant coach to support him in any of that, or is he's a big, strong guy, and you just let him get after him himself?
Oh, I mean, I coach myself so over in West Australia, so I can fully appreciate the ups and downs of senior coaching. And John, you know, occasionally you go and have a chat to John to see how he is, but to be honest, his personality doesn't change, regardless of whether we're winning or losing. And I think that's a great credit to a guy that's, what's he coached now, 350-odd games. So players have to see the senior coach being stable opposed to reacting to situations, and that's a great asset of a coach.
Harves, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Essendon Footy Club tonight.
Thanks, boys.
Mark Harvey, a superstar of the game, and gave Juddy a clip also for not passing on tips about his horse. Hey, last week you brought up mean tweets, and we all read through tweets that we'd copped in the last, well, we only had to go back 24 hours to find anything really juicy dust. Melbourne have jumped on board, obviously listening to the Friday Huddle. Tonight they have a banner which is listed with a series of mean tweets that their players have received.
It's the Friday Huddle effect, we call it, Howie. We tend to set the trend, but it's great because they're supporting the Reach Foundation and opening up a discussion around perhaps some of the destruction around the nasty work of social media. So good on the Melbourne players getting on board. And the legacy of Jimmy Steins, the Reach Foundation, has been just an extraordinary organisation. Great to see it going as well as it currently is.
Are we convinced this is the right thing to do with the social media?
Well, there's two schools of thought, Damo. You're not big on calling people out, are you? Because you think it gives them the infamy that they're after.
I think it's all they want. Right. And I also think, too, it's a conditional. If Melbourne's going to do it, put the really nasty ones in. Now, I know they're not going to do that, and I get why they're not going to do it. And I get why they're doing it tonight, too, to create the awareness around it. But I just, I'm convinced nothing changes on the back of doing it. Well, and therefore, why highlight?
You've got to have a crack at it, though. You've got to try and change it. It's you can't sit here and just say it's not going to change, but it's not going to change if no one does anything. And
it starts a conversation too, Brandon, doesn't it, around this, Damo? No one's got the exact answer. And we did that last week out of a little bit of our own humour, but also around conversation, you know, mental health around players. And I think if Juddy's here, he's going to say, go after the Facebooks and the Twitter. They're the ones that can actually control this. And that probably makes a bit of sense. But I like the idea of exposing people who are poor behaviours.
But are we exposing? Like, Melbourne's not. They're not naming the people who've
said it. Not.
And they've also chosen
They're raising awareness about the issue, though.
Yeah, but I think there is an awareness about the issue. But nothing gets done about it. I mean, but raising it and highlighting it tonight.
What's the solution?
No, I don't claim to know. No. I'm not going to enter that space. But what I am pretty convinced of, in my own opinion, is that this is not going to change it one bit. And that's just my opinion. I know I'm in a minority on it.
What do you cop in a typical week, Damo? How many negative tweets would you
probably
cop?
Probably no more than most, really. I mean, but
I'd
suggest.
Well, actually,
yeah, actually yeah, a fair few more.
Does it have any effect on your emotional state?
No, no, it doesn't. But it seriously doesn't, because of, you know, it just doesn't. But I understand when people do receive it, and it does, and it does get cut through. And that's they're the people that we've got to deal with, and they're the ones who may well be more supportive of such an act tonight that more than I am.
We know you well enough to know that no one's got a thicker skin in the industry than Damo, and you have to do the role that Damo does. But I think it's a bigger, it is an interesting conversation, how I don't operate on social media at all. And it amuses me, someone I don't know, when someone else reads, which is often the case. You know, this is what is being said about you, Howie. But
it can be a very hurtful place, Luke.
Well, it can. And, you know, I've got four kids, Howie, and you watch them growing up in this world, and you're acutely aware of
the effects. So what do you say to your kids about it?
Well, you're trying to monitor the use of their phones and trying to monitor social media and trying to build some resilience around them. But there's no perfect answer to that.
Because you can't, eventually they will see what is said to them on their phone. So what type of lesson as a father can you give your young kids to deal with it? Because they're going to see it, mate.
And that is that you don't judge your self-worth on what other people are attaching it to. You judge your self-worth on your own sense of yourself. And that's a lesson that's not an easy one to do it. Sometimes. No. And you know what I found, and I don't understand the platform that well, but I'm watching my kids and they share each other's location, just what they do, you know, on Snapchat. And you're going, okay, that's okay. There's 20 people at someone's house and you're the one person that's left out.
Yep.
Hmm. There's a whole range of things that we didn't experience as kids, Howie, that I think are challenges for the next generation. So I think we're having good conversations about it. I think we should keep doing it. So well done to the Melbourne Football Club.
Extraordinary scenes last night. Damo will give us an update shortly on Paul Seedsman and the knee issue. But it was being called last night on Triple M Football in Adelaide by Brian Taylor and Mark Rusciuto. And there was some discussion in the box as to the man driving the medical cart and exactly what he was doing.
Gee, the driver's going past every player on the ground so they can give him the goodbye, mate.
Go the most
get
direct
the
route,
mate.
Get
he's
off.
Actually stopping as players come up now. Oh, you're going in the wrong direction,
mate.
Don't
even know where he's
over
going.
There is where you've got to go, and he's done a 90-degree turn. He's completely lost focus.
He hasn't got the GPS on.
Oh, and he's getting the Bronx seats from the crowd now. Get they're off. Bad enough.
Oh, he's getting a bit of me time.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Oh, he's getting heckled too.
Yeah,
oh.
He's got it.
Oh, and he's had a look at the crowd. Yeah. He almost put the finger up.
That was Brian and Ruth talking about Paul Seedsman. Great concerns that he possibly had done his ACL, Damo, but better news out of the Crows today?
It's better news. It comes from Steve Saunders, who's the Crows Science and Medical Services Coordinator, formerly of North Melbourne Football Club. They've ruled out an ACL problem being the issue, but there is still the requirement for some serious scans on it. Just quoting Saunders here, he has not injured his ACL. He sustained significant injury to capsula and bone structures that require the MRI to understand these better. We will know more as to timeframes for Paul as we will assess his clinical progress over the next 5 to 7 days.
What was his role? What the headline of his role?
Steve Saunders.
Yeah. Science and Medical Services Coordinator. He's a bit different in terms of the...
As a fitness coach.
It's a bit wordy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's slightly outside the normal doctor who's usually used to be quoted on these
things. He's an incredible operator.
You like him, don't you? You and Brendan Favola went across. I think Jonathan Brown swore by him too.
Yep.
So he kangaroos man for a while?
He was for a while.
I remember going and seeing the early days with a little bit of osteitis, and he was outstanding, Steve Saunders. He used to specialise in the groin. You would have gone and seen him about your groins, wouldn't you, man? Yeah.
Is
he the one that started the old self-needling or not?
He was an early introduction to the needling. I guess you could call him the gateway. But he didn't encourage it to be done without a medical degree, but, you know.
And drinking alcohol.
Some of us fly to the beat of our own drum. The big nose producer's gait's been a lot better since that night, as far as I'm concerned.
Just one quick one to tap on the head with you, Damo. James Sicily, AFL, came out and said during the week the correct decision was made in that incident in the goal square against the Dogs.
They did that publicly, and then on Wednesday of the week just gone, followed it up with a pretty blunt email from the umpiring department to coaches and football departments, basically reinforcing the prohibited contact rule and adjudications which were relayed to clubs in the off-season. They were let go in round one, clearly, because there was a crackdown, an over-the-top crackdown in most people's eyes in round two. But basically, they didn't reference Sicily in the wording of it, Howie, but it was an endorsement of that free kick that was paid against him to Josh Shackey in that last quarter of that Hawthorn and Bulldogs game. So clubs are on notice. What we're going to see tonight, who knows, because we get something different every week. But the email went out saying that was right.
All right. Hey, Das, it's been an interesting little period for our man, the Chew Man, known throughout Australia as the number one dominant AFL stats man in the world.
He's two-time day, two-time night statistician.
Best by the length of a mile. There was a bit of a hiccup when he got involved in discussions with Cricket Australia and caused Triple M to lose the cricket rights. Which was a stain. That was a stain, yeah, to be honest.
That was ordinary. And he gets a little testy when Nate Brown takes over the Triple M.
Yeah, he does. And that's due to the fact that after 18 years, he's refused to travel, so we don't see him on Friday nights now. And then, obviously, Juddy, you, from a commercial perspective, no longer has a sponsor for the first time in 18 years.
You've got to join the dots, don't you, somewhere along the way.
How would you feel about that commercial situation?
Well, it's suboptimal, isn't it? It's a sign of perhaps where he's at.
Well, I think he tried to make a few moves last Saturday just to try and increase his exposure to get this sponsorship dollar back in so he continue to have a job. So I paint the picture to you. It was Saturday football. James Herd was making his debut on Triple M Footy. And Damo, you were there. He was unbelievable.
Oh, very good.
His special comments were fantastic.
Some people may have taken him out of context when they went with the Pritton word out of what he said, but he was great.
That's true. But it's been put to me coming out of that game that Brian came in and organised people in particular seating positions because he knew that James would be on camera a lot and Brian was positioning himself to be next to James so he would get the added media exposure.
There were people driving their car on the way home going, these blokes make this stuff up.
No,
I can tell you, have never met Brian Taylor because every one of us knows this is 100% true.
But apparently they took a slightly different camera angle from the opposite wing and our man, the Chew, had been in discussion with the production people as to which camera would be used.
Well, he was sitting in Herdy's lap at the time.
He moved his usual position, hoping to get a little bit of exposure, thinking it would help the commercial. And then up he pops on every news service in Australia. Got a run on CNN. Aussie coach back into the AFL. James Herd make his Triple M debut. And there is the Chew Man, front and centre, sponsorless. Chew.
Well, the timing is impeccable, Howie, because I am worried about job security here at with my stats rollers. We don't have a sponsor. But you're right, most exposure I've had in national television, outside of the Supercoach show. I think it'd be 10 episodes.
Yeah, I think the Channel 9 News had a slightly more viewing audience than the Supercoach show, or that thing used to do.
Is it true that Brian's upset with you?
I'll find out tomorrow because I'll be working with him, but he did bristle up every now and then last Saturday, that's for sure.
It's been put to me that you recorded every news service hoping and now I've got it on loop on your Fox box where your kids are seeing you ad nauseum.
There might be an element of truth to that, Howie. You're exactly right. Massive. Even sales spiked this week in my full-time gig.
What about your gig here, which is why you did it in the first place?
Well, hopefully, I'm on next week's roster, so that's a positive.
Chris is a man. That. He's lacking sponsorship commercially. You're our beast in that area. What should he be doing apart from appearing on national television?
I think he's got to build up a brand. I think he's a bit indecisive at the minute, to be honest. I think he needs to bring a bit more sizzle.
Chew, can you confirm that once you were appearing on the big screen and all over, and they took a lot of shots?
A lot of shots.
There was more of you in the frame than James Herd, which is true. Is it true that Brian tried to push his chair back and push his massive head into the shot? Is that true, too?
He did, no doubt, Das. Usually, BT, he flicks me up the back there, but on last Saturday, he was keen to get in pole position next to the great man, James Herd.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.